Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Sammet, alongside Stephen Julian. And Stephen's down there giggling like a little kid for some reason.
You know exactly why I'm giggling.
You think I messed up or something down here, but actually, I can see the board from here.
Okay.
So we weren't on the air when I said my little thing.
Listen, all I know is before every show, you tell all the guests and me the rule that when the on-air light goes on, don't say anything because it can be heard. The on-air light was on.
Yes.
Because I can't see the board.
But we weren't on the air just yet.
Well, you just pointed out that I was giggling.
Yes.
I was just enjoying the fact that you made a mistake.
But I did not make a mistake.
Well, you made a mistake.
Any opportunity where I can get the upper hand on you, Stephen, I will just jump at it.
Right. Because it's rare. Okay. All right. Good deal. I love you, Mike. Thanks for letting me on the show, and I am excited about the guests that we have, and they are not going to mess up.
No, we've got some wonderful folks in the studio today joining us from Clay Digital Consulting. It's Mike Clay. From Autumn Leaves of Sugarloaf, it's Alani Nega, and Michael Hessing from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. So he'll be grading us after our show today, Stephen.
And I'm going to block the door so that he can't leave.
Unless we get
after that start.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's get past the silliness and move on with the show. Joining us again is Mike Clay. He's with Clay Digital Consulting. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Tell us all about Clay Digital Consulting. What does your company do?
Well, Clay Digital Consulting is, we're a digital marketing firm, and we do everything from consulting, working one-on-one with businesses, all the way to building websites, doing the marketing, planning the marketing strategy. We're basically a bunch of geeks that hang out behind computers all day long. We're the guys that they slide the pizza under the door. It's odd. I don't have a keyboard in front of me, so this is kind of weird, but.
So you're actually looking and speaking with real people in front of you. That's odd. You're used to the online experience.
Yeah, exactly. This should be a chat room, no microphone involved.
So Mike, you do websites, ROIs, all that. Not ROIs. Search engine optimization. Right?
Yeah, SEO.
SEOs, all that kind of stuff.
SEO, SEM, SOO.
So yeah, I'm not geek enough.
ROI is my world, Mike. But yes. Go ahead.
Well, and we dive into that, though. What we do is we'll go out and find marketing demographics online, find out where your customers hang out, what they do, and then based off of the competition and how hard and how much money you're going to have to throw at it to get rankings and results, we can help you track ROI with your digital marketing.
And that's something that not all digital marketing companies do, correct?
That's something that most digital marketing companies don't do.
Right.
And that's what we love doing. We love helping you prioritize where to throw your money. Most digital marketing companies take it from the, I'm a service provider, you're the customer, which means you come in, tell me what you want, and I'm going to give it to you. Well, we take it from a consulting mindset, hence the name. And what we do is you come in, tell us what you want, and then we're going to tell you what you need. So we take a totally unique viewpoint. And this comes from me doing this. I've been in the industry for almost 17 years now. And we've seen the same problem over and over again where a business owner will come in and say, hey, I want to rank on the front page of Google, or when we first got started, I want to rank on the front page of AskJeeves.com, which is long dead. But for keyword A, and we're like, you don't really want keyword A. No one ever looks for keyword A. But most companies will say, okay, and then they'll put them on the front page of keyword A, and 3 months later, the company's like, my phone's not ringing. Well, that's what we do. We actually build a digital marketing blueprint, and we refuse to work with anybody that doesn't want a digital marketing blueprint because you can't build a house without a good blueprint. How would you like to have a house built and all of a sudden realize there's no bathroom?
I would not like that, for the record.
That would be bad, right?
So there's consulting, Mike, and there's coaching.
There's consulting and coaching. Yeah, that's what we've kind of prided ourselves on, is that we will do the consulting end of it and the coaching end of it because we want you to be the expert. Like, if if we were working on your system, I have no idea what you really do. I kind of got that big 100-mile above overview, but I'm not the expert. So if I put all the geek factor in place, find out what you should target, and then help you become the expert, it works. And your phone rings.
So, Mike, you mentioned that ROI is a big differentiator between you and other digital marketing companies. Go a little deeper into the digital marketing blueprint. So let me ask it in a semi-creative way, which probably won't come off creative. But in a blueprint, there are essential things to make a blueprint work. If I'm a business owner and I hear digital marketing blueprint, how is that a differentiator? What are the things that you are going to ask me to put on my digital marketing blueprint that other people aren't? Because the main catchphrases you always hear are, I can get you on the first page of Google. And I get, so there are other catchphrases. Explain the blueprint and the differences of it.
Well, and a lot of the catchphrases in the industry is because this industry is plagued with geeks with no people skills. And Steven
knows all about that, by the way, because he went to Georgia Tech, so he had a lot of that around him. So,
I have a lot of friends, Mike.
I understand. I'll try not to make geek comments. What we do is we try to avoid the catchphrases. We actually have started calling ourselves digital marketing consultants because SEO has so many buzzwords in it that you start talking it, and business owners are like, yeah, I've heard this 40 bazillion times. So what a digital marketing blueprint actually is we get you to tell us what you think people are looking for. And we use those as kind of a feeder list. And then we go do what you've heard 1,000 times. We do keyword research. But then we take the keyword research and do a competitive research on everything we find. So let's just use an example. Let's say discount travel is what we're going for. And by the way, unless you're a multimillionaire, give up on that keyword. Discount travel. We find all the first 10 websites ranking for discount travel, and then we look at those 10 websites. And by looking at those 10 websites, we know how many other websites are linking to them, how much content they have, how important the search engines believe they are and how much relevance they have, how many social media mentions they have, and this rabbit hole goes deep. Well, we do that for every keyword we find. And then we build a prioritized list, because if discount travel, you have to have 10,000 articles on your website and 100,000 backlinks, and we know the average cost of an article is about $5 and a backlink's going to cost you in labor about $15 to $25, you're going to have to spend 3 years and a couple $100,000 to get there, but you said your number one sell only makes you $50 in profit. You're never going to make money back on that. And that's what we do, is we build that up and prioritize it. Now, after we've prioritized all that, then we go find out where all the traffic is. Is the traffic on Google? Because what we're seeing a lot right now is only about 30 to 40% of the traffic is from Google anymore. Google doesn't get the traffic it used to get. Facebook has literally taken a huge chunk of the traffic. And with that, do you have a fan page? Are you using your fan page? If you are using your fan page, are you promoting your ads and your posts? And by the way, if you're promoting your posts, don't promote them until after midnight. Because if you promote a post at 6 o'clock, your entire ad spend will be gone by midnight, and you don't get the reach you should get. If you do it at 1 a.m., it'll go from 1 a.m. to midnight the next day, and you'll reach more people. That's just one of those.
Free tip. I like
it.
There
you go.
Insight right there.
So with the blueprint, that's what we do, is we start with the research. And then we want to go, we have this thing of, is what you're offering a pain pill or a vitamin? If you have to cut corners, you'll get rid of a vitamin. But if you're in pain, you want the pain pill. So we build an FAQ, a frequently asked questions. And then we ask you, okay, these are what people are asking online. What should they be asking? And with that, we go out and we go to all the websites like Yahoo Answers and where people are asking questions. And we find the questions about your business and your industry. And we find the questions that have a lot of people commenting, a lot of people on that. And that will tell us what kind of content you need to develop for your website. Because that's what people are that's the pain. That's where the pain pill is. So we help you target your content. So the blueprint starts with the foundation of what keywords we're targeting with. Then it moves into what kind of content you need to build. And then it moves into where do you put the content and what type of content. Does it need to be an article? Does it need to be a video? Should it be a social media post? And so on. And with the whole thing put together, even if you don't use us as your company, if you don't want us to implement it, let's say you have another company that's already doing SEO, we'll come in and walk through the blueprint with the SEO company you're paying and help them know exactly what to target so they're no longer paper, rock, scissoring at what makes you money, which is really what makes us different.
We're talking with Mike Clay with Clay Digital Consulting here on Gwinnett Business Radio. And Mike, you talk about the blueprint. We're talking about SEOs and keywords and other terms in the business. But bottom line is you're trying to get as many eyeballs onto the people's websites or social media to see their product or their business. One of the questions I have is what is one of the biggest mistakes that small business owners may make when it comes to their online marketing?
Thinking that everybody wants to hear everything. So many businesses, they just kind of throw everything together. They don't have any real, there's not a plan. I mean, in business, we talk about you have to build a business plan. Well, in marketing, you have to build a marketing plan. They go at it without a plan. So the biggest mistake they have is they just keep throwing stuff into their website and into their marketing with no structure, no plan, and nothing there. And what that does is it gets them listings, but it gets them no leads. So they end up spending all this energy and all this effort and make no money. And that's why a lot of businesses have started saying that they don't have an ROI with a website. They don't have an ROI with social media. And it's because they're just, you know, they're taking a shotgun approach to hunt for Bigfoot. And it doesn't work that well.
So if that's the biggest mistake, and then I think the follow-up question would be, if I'm a small business owner and I have either just started delving into the online world, the digital, and need a digital consultant, or I've done a little bit and it's been all failure, where should I start? Where should the plan start? What's step one?
A digital marketing blueprint, which and
I thought that was the answer, but
yeah, and that's the problem I've seen consistently with almost every business owner we've dealt with, and that's why we started Clay Digital Consulting. Is we're like, okay, this is the problem, and no one is fixing it, and I'm tired of working with people without actually really fixing the problem. Let's fix the problem, and our problem is, this is so different than it's alien compared to what most people have heard about. But yeah, the solution is building the plan first. And there's a lot of places you can get that information. We'll build it for you and kill the learning curve of having to figure it out. But Duct Tape Marketing is a great website. And they have layouts and guidelines on how to build a marketing plan. But building the plan first and then implementing it.
I think it's funny that, or not funny. I think it's ironic and wonderful that you're in a business that is very fast paced, the fast paced breakneck speed of the online world. And your first message is slow down and do it right.
That's right.
I've got to ask this, Mike. I understand you've worked with 100 business leaders and worked with different businesses, coached them how to do their online marketing. Some have, from what I understand, become very successful now, $1 million businesses. You have classes, don't you? Tell us a little bit about that.
We do, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to become more consistent with classes. We are a fairly new company. We've worked with other companies in the past, and we've just launched, and I've decided to put my family name on the business and really, really go for it. Our classes, we have web-based classes. We do webinars. We do blogs with tutorials and tips. But our webinars, we're starting to do them every Thursday. and they start right around lunchtime, and we cover all kinds of topics. The most recent one is we did an hour and a half long session of how to set up your LinkedIn account. We're going to be doing one soon on Facebook marketing. We have a weekly blog that goes out called WordPress Wednesdays, because you know we're WordPress evangelists, and we want to make sure everybody's using the right platform for their website, WordPress. And
wait, I just heard a subliminal message there. WordPress.
See, and then you said it.
I did. I did not even realize it.
Mike, you said WordPress.
I did.
Wait, I said WordPress. Okay.
So now that we've mentioned WordPress,
yes,
we're expecting a check from WordPress anytime now.
Yeah, they're nonprofit.
So much for the check.
Yeah, exactly. So what? I don't. What were we talking about?
WordPress.
You're talking about your classes.
The classes.
Which, and you mentioned they're around lunchtime. So you mentioned earlier. I'm assuming pizza must be served because it's you're there.
Well, we have pizza. But
right. Slid under the door. The he covered that earlier in the interview,
yeah.
Mike.
Caffeine. No, they're online. So. And we record them,
okay.
But we have it set up. I'm not good at talking and running a webinar and answering questions. So a couple of members of my staff.
You're loving this right now then, aren't you?
Yeah, I actually enjoy talking. It's fun. But we actually have a chat room where you can ask questions while we're going through it, and we'll answer your questions. And then we just try to cover the basics. LinkedIn is huge for business owners. Facebook is good for people that are selling to the public. So we try to cover all kinds of digital marketing areas.
Okay, we'll give the website and all that contact information in just a minute for folks that want to follow up and find out more about the classes. But before we let you go, I've got to ask you about this balloon guy, Mike. In your previous life, apparently, tell us about balloon guy, Mike, and how that morphed into where you are today.
Okay, so balloon guy, Mike, started off as a hobby years ago. And
I mean, you made it to national TV.
As an
entertainer.
I've even been in Vegas.
What is Balloon Guy Mike?
Balloon Guy Mike. Okay, as Balloon Guy Mike, I was a latex vessel pressure configuration specialist.
Really?
Well done. Yeah.
Yeah. I've practiced that.
Say that one more time.
A latex vessel pressure configuration specialist,
otherwise known as Balloon Guy Mike.
I do balloon animals, but no, I did. I decided at one point in my life that I was going to get away from computers and never touch them again. That didn't work. So we turned a hobby.
So you went to balloons.
I went to balloons. Yeah, and it wasn't the poodles and swords stuff. I've actually done life-size motorcycles, dresses. I've helped with building life-size people out of balloons. We've done corporate trade shows where we've decorated the entire booth. We did a Food Network trade show one time, and we did a buffet. And the buffet and all the people around the buffet were made out of balloons. And it was like 3,500 balloons.
A lot of food left. Huh?
Well, it's really light. It's chewy. But I tell people all the time, you know, to learn how to twist balloons, you just got to be a little twisted.
Don't take this the wrong way, Mike, but you are the biggest geek I've ever met.
Well, thank you.
And I mean that
that's
in a
compliment.
I meant that in a good way.
That's a compliment.
So, well, Mike, listen, I hate that we're out of time because I feel like we can have some more fun about with all this. But for folks that want to find out more about Clay Digital Consulting, to get serious again, somewhat serious, Clay Digital Consulting, give us all the contact information on the website where people can find out more about your company, what you do, and the classes that you offer.
Well, the easiest way to find us is to go to Google and just Google Clay Digital Consulting. We're 3/4 of the front page of Google for our company name.
So you don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk.
We try. But claydigitalconsulting.com has all of our contact information on it. And then if you Google us, you can find our LinkedIn page, our Facebook fan page, our Twitter account, and all the fun stuff to really engage with us.
Mike, appreciate your time. It's been a lot
Thank
of fun.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mike Clay with Clay Digital Consulting. Our next guest now on Gwinnett Business Radio, she's from Autumn Leaves of Sugarloaf, and her name is Alani Nega. Alani, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us about Autumn Leaves of Sugarloaf. I was there, was it a month and a half ago for the grand opening tour, if you will, and a beautiful place off Satellite Boulevard, just right down the road from our studio.
Absolutely. Our grand opening was end of January, and we are an assisted living community solely dedicated to serve seniors with dementia and any other form of Alzheimer's disease. We are a family-owned and operated company based in Irvine, Texas. Our Sugarloaf community is actually the first one here in Georgia, but we've been doing this for over 10 years now. We do specialize in memory care. Although we are licensed as assisted living, which would mean we assist our residents and care for them until end of life, our main focus and the only focus is to provide care for our seniors who are living with dementia and provide support to their families.
What is your role there, Alani?
I am the director of sales and marketing. What I do is actually I am the first contact person when families or family caregivers reach out to Autumn Leaves. I do welcome caregivers to our community, meet with them, and assist them through the very difficult transition to finding the right care for their families.
So if Autumn Leaves of Sugarloaf is focused more on Alzheimer's, dementia, and other memory care things, what are some of the things that are specific to that kind of a facility compared to other assisted living facilities?
So we do design and build our community, each one of our communities at Autumn Leaves, and everything is done with a great purpose to provide and promote wellness to seniors who are dealing with dementia. For instance, from having an open living room area to a very innovative handrail, the size of the hallway and the great lighting in our community is single-handedly focused to promote and support seniors who live with dementia and understanding the disease process, understanding how it affects different individuals in a different way, but focus on the most and the latest research outcome and therapeutic care.
There was some stuff, Stephen, that when I took the tour that I learned so much because there's the wider hallways. So if someone is on a wheelchair or whatever, there's still plenty of room. And there's a lot of windows.
Absolutely.
So, you're looking down maybe a long hallway. There's a window there, and they say that really helps people feel more at home.
Absolutely. You would see a great number of windows in our community. That is actually to allow a lot of natural light to come to the community and to their living space and activity areas. And we do know natural light promotes and increases the melatonin level, which is the hormone that is responsible for relaxing and sleeping. It also helps with the day and night rhythm and help them with sometimes we know some of the things they struggle with will be agitation and anxiousness, and natural lights tend to help with that.
So one of the things you said in your opening is that you're looking to promote wellness for seniors who are dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia and other memory care issues. So what are some of the programs like? And you kind of mentioned a little bit of therapeutic care. Talk a little bit about where that whole realm is going, what's being found, what are some of the potential gains, just kind of maybe even look into the future a little bit for us.
Absolutely. So starting with our care, the way we deliver care for our individuals, we focus on understanding the person. Yes, we do know what dementia and how it affects different people. We train our staff, and everybody gets an additional skill set to understand the disease process. But we also focus on individualistic approach, that knowing the person, their history, their background, their preferred routine, what is special about them. So we do focus very much on understanding the person so we can deliver the optimum care that we want to deliver. It is also just getting the latest different techniques and approach how we provide care for our residents. We do a positive physical approach in caring for them daily. And the other aspect of what we do is our social engagement and activities. We have our dining and promoting the dining experience. we have various activities and departments that is going to support their well-being, in addition to their physical well-being, the social well-being, the psychological well-being, and just the entire support that they will need.
We're speaking with Elaney Nega. From she is Director of Sales and Marketing at Autumn Leaves at Sugarloaf, Alzheimer Memory Care Senior Living Center. Elaney, as the Director of Sales and Marketing, take us through if I'm caring for a parent, and actually my mother did suffer from dementia, so if I were to come to Autumn Leaves, take me through the process with you. As the person who's looking after my parent, and where does the process start? Do I just walk in off the street? How do I get referred? Just kind of talk through your process.
So we're very active in our local community, just working with other senior care providers, and just promoting that partnership with them. We are very present in a local hospitals and skilled care nursing homes, and also just in a general community, being a partner with first responders and some religious organization. And in addition to that, working with professionals who actually provide, some type of senior care in the industry. So we promote ourselves through our relationship in our community. And the step-by-step process will be, once our family caregivers come to us, we'll just meet with them. And the first thing will be just to understand what they're looking for, their main concerns, what is important to them, and how we can navigate through the process of finding them the right care. Our goal is actually not just to provide, the best care for our residents and support families, but we also want to be resourceful. So we do know what other resources are out there, some support group activities, and caregiver tips. So we do have those tools that we can help families navigate through the process of finding the right care for their loved ones.
You go back many, many years and you think of the perception of the nursing homes back when we were little kids, and it's really changed and morphed so much. And now the assisted living communities, you walk in and they're, as you mentioned, Elaney, they're very bright and a lot of activities going on. It's not just old people who are there for their final days or final years. What do you enjoy most about being there every day? I know the people, the ones that I met, when I was there for the tour, they're just great state of mind, very happy, but I'm sure the people themselves bring a lot of joy to what you do every day.
Absolutely. So, as you could see, for me, the most wonderful thing in coming to Autumn Leaves and the best thing about Autumn Leaves communities is how we structure our environment and how we build our building. We do a lot of stuff to residents interaction. I'm sure you know this, but this is very unique to Autumn Leaves communities. Our offices are built in the center of their living room space. And that is because we want to promote as much contact with our residents and just be engaged with them. So in working in other places and just being here, I can see we are very, as a staff, we're very much supported and encouraged to continue to contact with our residents throughout the day and stay engaged with them.
You're located right down the road, as I mentioned earlier, from the studio here on Satellite Boulevard. You're up in Suwannee. How many residents can you take in, and where are you right now as far as capacity?
We are growing as planned, and we're very excited, and we're close to being in 30% occupied right now. And at a full capacity, we'll be able to provide care for 46 seniors in our community. And we also have another sister community opening in Woodbridge area, so we're looking into that in the next month or two.
So that was the first part of my follow-up question. 30% full now here in Suwannee. So there is plans for another community technically in Woodbridge. You said at the beginning this was a family-owned company out of Texas. How far is the reach? Do you have any inkling into the next few years? Are you wanting to just take it one at a time here in the Atlanta area?
Absolutely. I think there is a plan for the next couple of years just to grow to number 5 here in Georgia. Of course, there will be plans in buying lands and designing the buildings and somewhere close to a metro Atlanta area. So, yeah.
for those that are listening that want to find out more or maybe want to come by and look, can they just come by and come in the lobby
Absolutely.
And check it out? Okay, well, give us your, again, your exact location, where they can find you, and then online, any information they can find online, where can they go for the website?
Absolutely. We welcome anybody and everybody who would like to learn about our community to just come and visit us. We are located at 1475 Satellite Boulevard, Suwanee, Georgia, 30024. They can look us up at autumnleaves.com to learn all about the different locations of Autumn Leaves communities. But particularly for our community, they can always call 678-990-4580. Or send me an email, enega@autumnleaves.com. I'm always available. If I'm not in the community, any of my teammates will be very happy to welcome, meet them, and just help them understand the type of care that we provide and how we can be a solution for them.
The closest cross street, is it right near Old Peachtree? Is that the closest?
Old Peachtree, yes.
Old Peachtree. So mm-hmm. Satellite Boulevard right near Old Peachtree. You probably pass it all the time.
Right across from the Home Depot. I've enjoyed watching it get built up. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility.
It
Great.
Is. Thank you.
Alani Nega with Autumn Leaves of Sugarloaf. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Next up here on Gwinnett Business Radio from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, it is Michael Hessing. Hey there, Michael. How you doing?
Good morning, Mike. Mike.
Just broke rule number one, and that's clearing my throat on the air.
I know you did that on purpose.
I
seeing
did.
If he's going to correct you.
I did.
I won't correct him.
All right. Well, I got to get a mic. First of all, Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Hello. We're in Georgia. What's going on here, Michael?
Well, no, we're not. I take the plane from here. I got a flight. No. We have a satellite school here in Lawrenceville. And we've been present here for 22 years at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting right here in Georgia. We had a campus down in Dunwoody, and we also had one in Marietta for a while, and now we're out here with a more state-of-the-art facility than we've ever had. And it's a great school. I've been with them for 4 years now, and I enjoy being campus coordinator and instructor there. The school has a very one-of-a-kind type of learning style, or teaching style, that is, and that is hands-on. We get our students, when they walk in the door, right into our studios. The studios are state-of-the-art. A lot of radio stations and TV stations use the equipment that we have. And our students, if they follow our plan and our course, will, within 8 to 10 months, enter into the industry. A lot of times that's our hope, and a lot of times that's a fact and a reality. So that's what we're up to. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary right now. Connecticut School of Broadcasting was started by Dick Robinson, who was a Dick Clark type of radio announcer back in the 60s as an alternative to college so that our students could come in and learn in the broadcasting business and enter it very quickly. I think I turned away from the microphone there. I'm sorry about that.
Just don't clear your throat.
No, I won't. I won't do anything else that's untoward.
Who's your typical student? Is it the young person maybe right out of high school? Is it the older person, a man or woman who wants a career change? Who typically comes through your doors?
Well, we have a wide range of students that come in. We can have anyone from a high school student that's just graduated to a retired military person in their late 50s, early 60s. We have people who want to come in and learn the process of broadcasting and communicating in the broadcast media. We haven't gotten to the antisocial media. I mean the social media. I call it antisocial because geek people don't like to speak unless they're on the radio. Just kidding. But
you're getting it from all angles today, Mike. I apologize.
Yeah. The bad part is it's true.
we're going to send some pizza your way later on.
Slide it under
the No, I always joke that sometime down in the future there will be people, the only companies in business will be pajama companies because no one will need to go anywhere. You won't need to buy clothes. You won't need to do anything because you do it all from home except wear pajamas. So, yeah. In any event, our school...
We're going off on the social content right now. I don't know where we're... social commentary. Where are we going with this?
Well, I'm just kidding.
Back to the school of Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Right. What we do is we teach our students, be it 18 through 60 or however old they are, to come in and learn the process of broadcasting and communicating for the broadcast media. We have TV classes and radio classes. We teach them behind the scenes, in front of the mic, in front of the camera, how to edit video, how to do audio production, how to create their own commercials, learn voiceover, all the things that come together, all the components that come together in the broadcasting world. And a lot of the students succeed at it.
Are they are there part-time students, maybe somebody that has a career, like Stephen, maybe a financial planner by day, but at night maybe wants to take a class on radio broadcasting? Do you have those types of classes?
Well, this is how our program works. We have a trimester, and we have a day and a night class. I'm glad you asked that question. The night class is structured for those people who are working. It meets two times a week for 16 weeks from 6:30 to 10 p.m., and the person gets a full education in radio, TV, radio, TV. We have a full-time program in the mornings that go from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and the students are more. It's a more intense program where they learn different skills every single day. Well, at last count, we had about 195 skills that the students learn over the course of the first phase of the program, which is the hands-on learning phase. So that's just the first phase. We have three phases to our program. The second phase to our program is working with the students to get them placed in an internship and getting them to practice those skills they most want to do. It's almost impossible to learn 195 skills and be great at every one of them. So what we do is we guide our students to choose the skill they want to learn the most and practice the most. If it's a radio show, we encourage them to put together a radio show with a whole format, a style, and, of course, you know, a time frame. If it's voiceover, we encourage them to do commercials, and we help place them in those type of genres to be able to get those jobs. So the second phase is really practice. We'll work with them on a resume. We'll work with them in trying to get internships, and we'll try to place them in places that will help them advance and grow. Many times, the internships turn into full-time paying jobs. The third phase of our program is getting them to work with demos, getting them to look professional, sound professional, and present themselves in a professional manner. And then, of course, we help them with job placement. The school is a very unique program because we allow our students to come back when they graduate. They can come back for however long they're in the career. If you were a student at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting and you needed to do a demo, you can come back right now, use our studios, put together the latest demo, and go out there and find another job if you wanted to do that as a radio person. Same thing for TV. As you know, studio time can cost anywhere from $250 to $600 an hour here in Atlanta. So our students have a unique advantage where they can come back and utilize the school for the purposes of production. In the case of an 18-year-old student who doesn't want to go to college right out of the box, once they learn the skills, should they decide to go to the Georgia State program or the Georgia Tech program or SCAD, they have an advantage of coming in using our studios when no one else can. Which means that most of these schools have limited equipment and limited availability. Our students don't have limited availability. They can come in there and use that equipment. We have a radio studio where they can actually take phone calls, edit the phone calls. We have several shows right now that are based in the school, created by the students. One is called Young Urban Lifestyles, which is a city woman type of show. And then we have a mixed martial arts program called MMA Mayhem Radio, and these guys are getting a tremendous following right now. Jimmy Kimmel had one of the guys on the air after he interviewed a fighter that actually upchucked on the air. And Jimmy Kimmel grabbed the video, put it on, and these guys went viral on Yahoo. And the next thing you know, they went from 3,000 listeners on their podcast to 30,000. So our school works, and we're very encouraging. We like the idea that our students get out there and do things. We have several people working for area sports programs, and that's how the operation of the school is.
So, Michael, go back to phase one for just a second. I'm going to ask a clarifying question that you kind of covered, but I just want to hear the words come out of your mouth. The 195 skills that they're learning as they come into phase one, it sounds like at the beginning they are going to be in front of the mic and behind the mic,
exactly.
Kind of learning everything, right?
Exactly. That's
okay.
Right.
So that's so I like that. And then you're taking them through a process and helping them discover. So some people may come in thinking, oh, I'm all that and I'm going to be on the mic. Well, they need to learn what to do behind the mic as well, and vice versa.
Well, our approach is very comprehensive. We believe that anyone who wants to work on radio needs to work on TV. There's a big reason for that. There's a lot of overlap. I mean, every radio station today, well, many of them, maybe not this one, but you might do it sometime, has a video component. So their chances at a radio station may begin as a video cameraman editor. Or it may begin as someone who can actually cut and produce commercials, because we teach them how to do that. So we want these students, when they walk out, to have a general knowledge of broadcasting to the point where they can adequately, maybe not excellently, do everything. And focus on the things that they want to do excellently while they're in the school.
So, Michael, you also brought up, jokingly, about the anti-social media. So I'm going to ask you, that was a little bit kind of pushing the envelope a little bit, so I'm going to ask you a push-the-envelope question a little bit, because you said that the Connecticut School of Broadcasting is an alternative college, an alternative to college, which I love. And I believe is going to be a growing movement in America. Because what you do is you take them from day one, and when they walk out the door, you are preparing them to enter the workforce, that's an alternative to college on some respects. So speak to just kind of that whole broad area. Are there significant differences between you and a standard college, just in the way you approach things? Or just kind of the whole genre of alternatives
to
college?
Well, it definitely is approach. But it's also, we don't require things of the students to learn that are not directly applicable to what they're going to be doing in the workplace. So if we were to place a student in an internship where they were getting coffee exclusively and buying everyone lunch and driving people around, we would pull them out of that internship, because that's not an internship that's using those kind of skills. Okay. We're not preparing these people to go out there and do free work and be free slaves, so to speak. We want these people to go out there and utilize what we're teaching them to do. So when I get a word that a student will come in and say, well, I'm really not learning anything. We had this happen recently on a very popular morning show here in town. A student came in and said, they're not giving me anything to do. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, I've been there 3 weeks and I haven't done anything. I haven't done any research. I haven't done any kind of radio prep for them or anything. So we called the supervisor and we told him, and they changed the whole program around. So it's the kind of thing that we want our students to really use practically in the business. And with regards to anti-social media, we do work with media, new media, and compression for new media, SEOs. We do have a class on that. We want our students to know how to format video for the web. I mean, let's get serious now. You got to get into the social media component. And so we do address that. And we will be addressing more of it as time goes on. The thing about the Connecticut School of Broadcasting is that we're always changing things. You know, we didn't have a new media class. We teach two video editing programs, Avid and Final Cut Pro. Well, the industry is starting to turn more toward Adobe, Adobe Premiere. So we are looking at doing that. A lot of our TV people have to have graphic skills, so we're now going to start incorporating graphics at some point in the next year or so. And the social media component will get a lot bigger also. We do have a Facebook page. We have a lot of different ways of getting the word out there. So we're not, I'm kind of, when I say anti-social media, that's kind of like, I've been around for a while, and I'm kind of like, whatever happened to shaking someone's hair and talking to them on the phone? In fact, in some cases, when you go on a website, you can't even find a phone number. And good luck trying to look somebody up, because the white pages will charge you 95 cents.
Now get me my Rolodex.
Yeah, really, really. But you know, that's a little tongue-in-cheek. I'm being a little, maybe a little facetious, but I realize what's out there. You know, you gotta roll with the times, and we do at the school. We do roll with the times. So
our guest is Michael Hessing with Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Before we let you go, two more quick questions. First of all, who are your instructors? Who are teaching the students?
I was going to get to that, but I got sidetracked with the antisocial stuff.
My fault. So,
I'm here to keep you on track.
Yeah, right. Our teachers are industry experts who are working in the industry. Okay, that's something that you need to know. We have a voiceover instructor who teaches voice and diction. She does commercials here in the Atlanta area. We have anchors that have been on local television that come in and teach our students how to do anchoring. We have video editors that work in the agency side of the business that come in and actually teach video editing. We have disc jockeys that come in and teach Next Gen and some of the other bigger classes, Adobe Audition, where they learn how to do production and commercials. My background is television. I worked for CNN for 20 years and CBS here locally in the television side for 7 years. And I teach commercial production. I worked at CNN in commercials for a lot of years. So that's my strength. All of our teachers must be currently working in the industry to be considered as teachers for the school. We want working professionals to come in and actually show our students the ropes. We have a curriculum that the students can follow. They get handouts every day in class. We also have a learning management system, which is online, where they can actually go in with a password and watch videos of what they've already learned. And we want to make sure that they're getting the very best education through what's going on out there today. A lot of our teachers also tell industry experience stories, how to handle situations. We did a class. We have a class called Industry Etiquette, and I think you should hear this one. We sent a guy out on a radio interview for an internship to a friend of mine over at Clear Channel. He walked in with a teenage girl, sat down, did the interview, and didn't introduce the teenage girl as his daughter. And the friend of mine who was doing the interview was a little bit shocked that he would walk in with a teenager. God knows what went through her mind until he introduced her as his daughter. At the end of the interview, he also mentioned to her that he wanted to go work for a rap station. She called me up. She said, "What'd you send him here for? I met his daughter, and then he tells me he wants a job somewhere else." So I got my thinking cap on, and I put together a whole lesson plan for industry etiquette. You would think that students would know enough, or people, adults in their life, would know enough when you walk into a place not to bring your child. You might as well bring in a soiled diaper if you're doing that. I mean, for God's sakes, it's ridiculous. So we wrote this industry etiquette, and we used certain examples. Don't wear a Bob Marley T-shirt when you go into an interview at a radio station. I mean, they may be laid back, they may be sort of liberal, but I don't think that that's going to get you the job. We also have a role-playing exercise in that class. The other issue is that a lot of our students don't know how to look at people. They don't know how to shake their hand. They don't know how to introduce their wives. They don't know how to, you know, when you meet people in public, it's very, very important that you present yourself in a way where you're not wearing, you know, high-top Michael Jordans, and you look like a professional. You know, I don't care what age you are. You should look like a professional. Radio station, you can go in with a regular sports shirt. You don't have to go in a jacket and a tie. But for God's sakes, don't bring your daughter. Don't bring your pet cat. Don't bring your pet orangutan. Leave all those people at home and things at home, and go in there and get the job. It made me look ridiculous, and after 30 years in this industry, I don't like looking ridiculous. I know a lot of people in town, and if I send you to a place, students, I expect that you'll act and behave the right way. So,
all right, Michael, for those that want to find out more about the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, where can they find that information?
Connecticut School of Broadcasting has a website, csb.com. Just go on there. We have 12 campuses up and down the Eastern Seaboard. By the way, I should also mention that if you are taking the class here and you move to Tampa, where one of our campuses is based, you also have the same privileges to use that equipment for your lifetime career as you would here. So you can go to any of our campuses up and down the seaboard, Eastern Seaboard. CSB.com, you can fill out the application online, tell us which campus you're interested in, and we'll be back to you in minutes. We also have a Facebook page, and you can catch us at CSB on Facebook.
Great.
And Mike, the phone number. 678.
We want to talk to real people, too.
Yes, really. We don't want to just go social media. Thank you. 205-2210. That's 678-205-2210. We're at 1755 North Brown Road in Lawrenceville, not too far from the Gwinnett Arena. So stop by and take a tour today.
Just easier to email. You're going to crack one of these days. You're going to give in, Michael. I'm telling you. All right, Michael Hessing, campus coordinator and instructor with Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Michael Hessing, a big thank you, Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Also, I want to thank Eleni Nega with the Autumn Leaves of Sugarloaf, beautiful assisted living home in Suwannee, and Mike Clay with Clay Digital Consulting, especially for taking all the punches we sent his way today. He's been a big sport. A reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other – you weren't a good sport? You were a good sport.
Was that a fat joke?
How did you get that? How did you get that?
No, all the fat jokes come to me, Mike.
Yeah, I use this for Steven. No, the geek jokes were for you, Mike.
Oh, okay.
No, not the fat jokes. Jeez. Okay, where was I? A reminder that you can listen to any of our programs, this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs, anytime, day or night, 24/7, by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X and to like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/GwinnettRadioX. For Steven Julian.
Mike, I got to hustle out of here and make it back to my office because they're sliding pizza under my door. And I got a client appointment this afternoon. I got to change into my Che Guevara t-shirt.
There you go. And get home early. Take care of that pet orangutan.
Absolutely.
I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.